is your tech news briefing for Friday, November 29th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal in New York. It is the season for deals. Wherever and however you're planning to shop this weekend, it's likely that Amazon could be part of your routine. So today, personal tech reporter Katie Bindley is here to tell you what you need to know to not get scammed. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, let's check some headlines. The European Union Agency for Cybersecurity has raised the alarm about cybersecurity threats to maritime companies in the EU. In recent years, ports in the region have adopted new technologies, like drones and data analysis tools, without considering how to secure them. Adding to the problem, maritime companies rarely share sensitive information with each other, so they have fewer chances to stop any possible hackers. Tougher cybersecurity rules from the International Maritime Organization are set to take effect in January 2021, but they're unlikely to resolve the lapses in security. The rules don't even mention newer technologies like AI or cloud computing. China's vast surveillance market topped $10 billion last year, and American tech companies are getting some of that money. Western Digital Corp, Intel Corp, and Hewlett-Packard have shared components, financing, and know-how with the industry. Representatives say their products can be used any number of ways and that complex supply chains limit their ability to control how their goods are used. Still, the firms risk reputational damage being connected to China's surveillance network and could be susceptible to new sanctions from the Trump administration that's seeking to limit China's surveillance program. And if you've ever wondered why people in other countries have multiple SIM cards for their phones and are able to switch them in and out pretty easily, and why we don't, the Justice Department has been asking the same question. They've been investigating whether AT&T, Verizon, and other companies influenced a standards trade group to make it harder for customers to do that with so-called eSIM cards. Now it's ended that antitrust probe without filing charges with a kind of compromise. The trade organization that sets eSIM standards has promised to include more industries in its process. Today's Black Friday, Cyber Monday is coming up. It's quite possible you've already started cashing in on deals or you're even sitting at home enjoying them right now. But those who decided to go brick and mortar or still want more are probably planning to spend some time on Amazon today. We had our tech gift guides earlier this week. Now it's time for a little news you can use. How not to get ripped off by operating on Amazon Autopilot, assuming that prices are competitive and that all the products are safe. Earlier this year, Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Bindley investigated some of our assumptions about the retailer. She joins us now. Katie, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you did this investigation. What inspired it?
Oddly enough, it started because I needed Cascade dish detergent. And generally, I just like pop out and buy it from CVS or whatever's like on my way home from work. And people are always talking about how much they love Amazon and how do I not shop more on Amazon. So I was like, you know, even though I don't have like a huge house and I live in a small apartment, I will order stuff on Amazon and just, you know, be one of those people who now shops on Amazon all the time. And then when I went to actually go buy the Cascade, I was like, weird. All the top results just seemed, they seemed kind of expensive, but I hadn't really ever thought about like what Cascade should cost. So I just started doing some price comparisons and I found out that that I was about to purchase a $13 bottle of Cascade that I could get the same size for $6. And then it just got me thinking, like, wait, what else? I was about to buy it. So it just got me thinking, like, what else do people just kind of throw in their cart and move on their way with that maybe isn't the best option?
So let's just start with one of the first things. A lot of people get Prime, and one of the main reasons they get it is for the two-day shipping. You found out two-day shipping doesn't always mean two-day shipping. Why is that?
Okay, so basically there is a difference between ordering something and having it arrive at your door in 2 days and ordering something and having it be two-day shipping. And the difference is what is processing time effectively. So there are times when, you know, the item might be coming from a faraway warehouse or something, you know, so it takes a couple of days for them to get it, you know, ready and packaged up to go. So basically the idea is that they might be shipping that item 2 days shipping, but if there were 3 days of processing time, then from the time you ordered the item until it arrives at your door. It might actually be 5 days, but that still could be, you know, a prime order that counts as having been shipped in 2 days. It's just there's some nuance to how Amazon defines 2-day shipping is what it is. And it's good to know because, you know, people, I think, have it in their head that once they press the button, it's going to be, you know, in their hands within 2 days.
Okay. One of the other big things that people are looking for when they're going on Amazon, they're looking for results like top results, Amazon Choice. Are those really the best results for consumers?
So Amazon's Choice was actually like one of the most interesting things to look into while I was working on this story. I went through and just kind of tapped on certain items that were Amazon's Choice. And one, it was an Apple Watch charger, I want to say. When you actually looked at the reviews, they were for an 50th anniversary edition of the movie My Fair Lady. And it was just mind-boggling. There were like all these reviews that were for this movie in this anniversary edition, and they were under an Apple Watch product. And it just really didn't make much sense. And there were just a couple instances of finding items that were supposedly Amazon's Choice that were clearly not the best option of the options. And so I checked in with Amazon about those items. And after reaching out to them, some of the badges ended up getting removed. But to give you an idea of how many reviews there can be for these items, one product that I looked at that wasn't Amazon's Choice, when I first looked at it, it had over 3,000 reviews with an average of 4.5 stars. And after I reached out to Amazon about it, they must have gotten rid of some of those reviews because it went down to 122 reviews that averaged 1.5 stars.
So not the stellar product that it was claiming to be.
In that case, no. I mean, obviously, it doesn't mean Amazon's Choice is the worst choice or anything. It's just like a lot of this is just about giving things like an extra level of scrutiny. And when I asked the company, like, you know, how do you pick which items end up getting the badge? They said it's based on popularity, customer ratings and reviews, availability, and more. And I don't know what the more is, obviously. But it's just one of those things where, you know, if you want to order Amazon's Choice, definitely you can do that. But just make sure that you actually read the reviews and look out for ones that might be fake or possibly for another product.
So I guess my question is, going into the holiday season, what should people be looking for when they're, you know, there are all these Black Friday sales, there are going to be Cyber Monday sales, and obviously people are going to be buying stuff on Amazon for the whole rest of the month. This is like the main shopping season. What should they be looking for in order to make sure they're really getting the kind of products that they want, the reviews they want, the prices they want?
I would say the biggest thing is just don't like necessarily order something that appears on the first page. The top results are not always the best results. I mean, sometimes there are, but it's definitely worth scrolling down on your phone further, or if you're on, you know, a laptop, going to page 2, page 3. And then also when you're looking at the first page of results, you know, make sure, is that one an ad or is it just like a regular product? Also, it's worth kind of like busting out your phone calculator if you're buying anything to like something. Like detergents, maybe not a good example for Black Friday, but if you're buying anything, to go ahead and like check the cost per ounce. Sometimes Amazon will actually post this for you, but there are definitely these instances where something might appear to be a good deal, but it's because you're not really able to immediately see like the size to price ratio. So it's worth just kind of, you know, taking out your phone and punching in like, all right, does it make sense that this is what this item should actually cost? And going through reviews can be a little tricky, definitely. But I would say looking out for like superlatives or things that are super generic.
My personal trick is always to look at the bad reviews.
Yes, that is also a very good idea. I don't know that I had that in my story, but I definitely recommend doing that. Same with like anytime I'm booking a hotel or really doing anything. It's like, look at the worst possible thing that somebody said about this and decide if you can live with it or if you are like-minded as that individual and would no longer want anything to do with that product or that hotel room.
Excellent. Katie Vindley, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.